We're going to start with the next case in the Mishnah of get alisurei hana, and right, the you know, the, what's really cool is sort of the way that it gets approached in the Gemara. So look at the Gemara. Amar Rav Chisda, out of the blue, Rav Chisda likes to tell us yachilna l'nifsolinhu l'kule gita da'alma. Right? Oh, I can passel any get. You know, you manage, like, you see them sitting there, it's medrash, and Rav Chisda is like, I can passel anything, you know, bring it to me, and I got it, I can passel it. Right? They tell a story about the Rav, that, like, every time he was Masadric condition at a wedding, he'd always be makbid to, like, passel the ksuba, and then write, like, a new, and then write a new one, you know, on, like, on a napkin or on a piece of paper. He loved finding, you know, problems in the ksuba. And like the nicer and more, like, you know, fancier the ksuba was, the more likely he'd be to pass it. Like, you know, you see Rav Chisda, you know, saying, Yechilna l'mifsulin hu l'kule gita da'am, I could pass it like all. So Amrle Rava, my daima, right? Why? Ile mamishum diksiv v'kasav, v'hachi ihi kakas v'le, d'makrui akri le'rabana. Okay, he says, if it's because the pasuk says "Vikasav la sefer krisos," and "Bismaynenu," the din is that the woman gets the sofer to write it. Well, it's a takanas chachamim. Ihi kasvalei no senes schar has sofer kedamina b'gemara to get pashut mishum takanas agunos. Okay, it's a classic example in Gittin where, on the one hand, we have the legal rule. Right, the logical reason way to do things would be to say, oh, you know, the get should be written by him, right? That's pashut. But we want to take away barriers for gerushin when we want it to happen, right? So we want him to have as few reasons as possible and as few impediments as possible for him to actually give the get when he's supposed to, right? So Medina, he should have to pay, you know, for the sofer to write it. We have her pay for it to speed things along. Takana Saguna, on the one hand, right, you know, the din might be this way. We want to streamline the process. We want to make it more convenient, more simple to do when it's supposed to happen. So so the Rabbanan said, we'll have her pay and smooth things along. Okay? Why is that so relevant, right? So firstly, he says, Dilma Akni Akule Rabbanan. Okay, maybe the Rabbanan were machmed. Elam Mishum Diksiv Vinnasan, right? It says Vinnasan. You have to give it over. V'hacha lo yahiv la midi. Dilma Nisinas Gethi. Teda Deshofu Nisam Kasvo Nishurei Hana Kasher. Right? Kufa. Okay, so right? So says Rashi. Nuei Akal Rabbanan. Havu Zuza Midida. V'havu Kiman Diyan Le'ihu Hefker Bezen Hefker. So they use Hefker Bezen Hefker to give it over. Okay? So what's the other option? Dilma Nisina means that it needs to be Vinasan. Says Rashi, Bar Nisina, Shehei Shavakruta. Has to be something worthy of being given. And if the get as a piece of paper isn't worth Shavakruta, then it doesn't, shouldn't work. Right? And the Gemara says, no, maybe the word Nisina is talking about the Nisina's Haget. Okay, so just in like in terms of, you know, our general understanding of the verse, right? One of the basic things that we know is you have a get, you have a husband, you have a wife. There, he basically he needs to write a get because of the sefer krisos. Then hasan be that which will come to so, and now they're divorced, right? So far, so good. Okay, the first thing that the Gemara points out is, maybe the husband actually needs to have the get written himself, right? Oh, Vikasa. He's supposed to write the get, right? It has to be his. I suppose the answer there, right? She had it written, she paid for it. Okay, right? She gave it to him. Or the Rabbanan gave it to her, gave it to him, right? He owns it. Hey, what's the assumption there? Why is that interesting already?
The assumption that is that he has to I don't know, that he has to own the get before he gives it to her.
Right. He needs to own it. I don't know if that was so obvious. Right? He needs to own it. Okay? That's the assumption of the Gemara. Right? I mean, that's like, oh, you know, he needs to own it, and then he needs to give it to her. And maybe, right, in order to give it, it needs to be a Shabakruta. Right? Because maybe Vinasan, I don't want to say Havamina, Vinasan, means Shabakruta, right? To be a Barnesina. And we said, oh, maybe Vinasan is going on that, on the value of the get, that needs to be a Barnesina, but on the Nesina Shaget, right? Maybe the Vinasa means it needs to be something significant. The Chiddush, oh, it doesn't necessarily be Vinasa of Chashivos, but Nesinas Haget. Okay, it's about giving over the get. It's not talking about the Nesina being in and of itself. Nesina Chashuva was something worth a Shabbat. Okay? But again, the assumption here, right, in the stages of this Gemara, it's a little bit bizarre, no? He's like, oh, maybe, you know, all the gittin in the world are puzzle because Shiva. She's okay, fine. Not a problem. I heal. Oh, maybe the get itself needs to be worth a shell of Kruta. And maybe not, right? And now we're going to prove in the Gemara that doesn't have to be true, okay? But these two things, one, right, that the get needs to be his, and two, is that there's something in the Nesina, right, that we know. Right, the Nasa Biyada Mishil Khibesa, we know that the giving of the get, you have to create a get, and then you have to give it over, right? And then the Nesina is what creates the Gerushin. But what constitutes that Nesina seems here to be, right, under unclear circumstances. Right? The assumption here that maybe Vinasa means that it needs to be a Nesina of the Dabra that's worth the Shabbat Kuta. Right, it's pretty interesting. What does the Gemara do? Right, so the Gemara continues and says, it doesn't even be worth a Shabbat Kruta, right? But already, this is an interesting question. Why would it be Nesina? Right? Well, why would it, need to be Nesina of a Dabar that's worth a Shabbat Kruta? What do you guys think?
If it's some sort of kinyan, then it would make sense that it would have to be a Shabbat Kruta because it isn't really a kinyan with nothing. I mean, there has to be something there to do a kinyan on.
Right, okay, so in terms of, in a kinyan of mamonos, right, normally require Shabbat Kruta in order for something to be valuable. Right? So in our object chart, if it's worth Shabbat Kruta, it's significant and it's valuable, and you could use it to create a kinyan. What's the problem with applying that logic here? You're right. Shabbat Kruta has two important features. Shabbat Kruta is significant, it's valuable. The other feature, though, right, seems to be going on here, that clearly when you need a Shabbat Kruta to buy something, it's because it needs to be chashuv, right? You need to be giving something significant in place of, in lieu of what you're buying. But in this case, that works when I buy, let's say, Kinyan Kasek. Maybe even buy Kiddushin. Right? What's the problem here?
What was the question?
The problem here is like this. Right? The spiral we just had for Shabbat Chashivos or Shabbat Kruta is that it's significant and it's valuable. Right? So that's good to set for a Kinyan Kasek. But here we're dealing with a get, right? And in Gerushin, it's not the significance of the value of the get that does anything, right?
Unless she's like acquiring herself.
Right, I mean, whatever it is, it's harder to say that it's like you're being mocked or something. Even if you say that in a formal sense you are, right? It's the get, it's a shtar. Right? A star isn't machna because of its value. It's machna because of its content. Right? When you give money to someone for something, you're trying to purchase it with the money, or you're using the money to create a symbolic relationship. Right? When you give a contract to someone, a shtar, it's not the value of the shtar that does anything, right? It's the content. It's the fact that it's a contractual obligation, right? The contract itself, in terms of its content, has legal standing. Either what it says or has formal status, right? However you want to cut that pie, at the end of the day, it's not the object, right? It's the words of the insight. So why would I need a Shavu Pruta? Right? So to be with Dai Kin Gemara, how does he formulate it? Because it's basically he gives like a second Hashim, second status to Shavu Pruta. It's significant, it's valuable, but it's also what? Right? I'll bring it on back up on the screen.
Bar Netzina.
Right. What's that mean? What are we going for there? Right?
The Havavina.
Ela Mishum Diksiv Vinasan. Right? It would need to be Bar Netzina Shehishava Pruta. And the answer is Dilma Netzinas Geki. Right? And then we prove it from Yisurei Hana. Okay, the Havavina of Vinasan Shehishava Pruta shows what? What's that happening? Normally we see the importance of a Shavu Pruta in that by giving it over, right, I'm giving you something of significance. Here we're saying it's not in the object.
Somebody said the Netina isn't important unless you're giving something worth a Shavu Pruta.
Right. It's a chisaron not in the object, but in the act of giving it over, right? The fact that it's not a Shavu Pruta isn't a pagan in the get. It's a pagan here. Right? Now, in theory also, I could have said, by the way, right, that not something being less than Shavu Pruta is pogea in your ability to own it. Right? If it doesn't have value, enough value, maybe you don't really own it. That's not true, because we know that by gzela, a guy is chayim on gzela of pachas and Shavu Pruta, meaning the other guy owned it and you stole it, so clearly, right, you fully own something even if it's not worth very much. We just assume that, in general, people are mocha. People aren't going to take you to court over it, but because it's not significant, it's not that value, right? So saying that pachas mishavu pruta is not valuable, but it has value, okay? But what we're saying here is that unless it's valuable, perhaps we haven't actually done a maisa mesina. Right? There's a significant act of giving something over. It's not only that the significance of what you gave over is important, but it's the fact that you haven't really done the action of giving over unless it has value. Right? It's not sure that you haven't really given over. Now, what does that put Nisina in terms of? Right? There are two ways to look at Nisina, of a transfer. You could look at Nisina in terms of the practical physical transfer. Or, it sounds like it starts with the same letters as physical. As physical. But
as what?
It sounds like it starts with the same letter as physical, but it's not.
Fiscal?
Financial, right? Fiscal. Exactly, right? You can talk about, this is physical. So the Gemara is, Havavina is what? It was not a Shavu Pruta. If there's no fiscally significant transfer, right? Like in Israel, you can't pay less than 10 agorot. You can hold something less than 10 agorot, but there's no coin less than 10 agorot, right? So in order to buy something with makolet, you have to buy something of at least 10 agorot. It's not going to work otherwise, because right? Unless But if you're buying something of on credit card, right, or online, let's say, you can, not in cash, then you can pay up to the, you know, up to the agora. You can't do is pay a tenth of an agora, right? So even though, so again, there's something about fiscally relevant transfers. You want to transfer monetary ownership, right? If that's an important component here, then we can say that there's less of a root out there, there's less of a side. At the end of the day, we're not saying that, right? Instead, we said, oh, what really matters is the physical transfer. We see this in the stages of this Gemara. We're going through, well, wait a second, right? There's this get. Does he need to own the get? Right? Does he need to own the get? The answer is, he does. Okay? Rav Chisda said, wait a second, he has to own it. Right? What's this sort of havamina? Or what seems to be like the, it's not really havamina, but like, in, before we got there, was there like a, it's almost like a theoretical havamina that she owns the get, she paid for it to be written, right? And Rav Chisda is saying, well, everyone's having her write the get, but him give it to her and be Megarish, maybe, right? He doesn't even need to own it in order to give it to her. Right? And then we said, no. He obviously needs to own it, right? The kasa, the flop. But, right, Hefker better than Hefker, so even if she pays, it still hits. Fine. Rav Chisda then says, well, then you need Nesina. If it's less than a Shabbat Pruta, then what? Then we really need him to own it. And not only do we need him to own it, we need then him to transfer the owning it to her. In order to do that in a financially significant Nesina, right? He owns it, and then he gives it financially, as well as physically. Then it needs to go on the Shabbat Pruta in order to be a significant transfer. We would say no, right? It could, it's just the Nesina again. The Ikar is the physical transfer. Okay? Now the question is like this. When we say that Ikar is a physical transfer, does she need to own it? Does she need actual fiscal ownership? I'll use like red, but I can't even see that.
Oh, Vicky.
Do we need fiscal ownership? Why is that an issue? right? Do we need fiscal ownership or not?
Or if it's just the physical transfer, then like maybe not even.
Right. Or why yes though?
Because he still needs to own it, and on a certain level, she's still getting it from him, even if it's just physical transfer. So,
right, very good. Right, it's very tough here now. Because on one hand, we said he needs to be kasava, he needs to own it, he needs to be vinasa. We said that the nesina is on the get, not on the nesina of the kasa. So it's not the ego isn't the financial transfer, but on the physical transfer. But at the end of the day, right? Do you need to own it? Do you need to possess? Does she actually need to own it at the end of the day? It's really not so clear. He needs to have owned it, and he needs to give it over, right, physically. But we don't know if that needs to come with a transition of ownership. It doesn't need to be a financially significant transfer, but maybe it does need her to own it at the end of the day, right? It's a bit tricky. It's a bit hard to know from that, from those 2 months, okay? But there's a husband needs to correct the get. He needs to transfer to his wife, who is now going to be his grusha, and we have a havamina that needs to be shava kruta in order for that transfer to be relevant. When we reject it, clearly it doesn't need to be a fiscally significant transfer, but does it need a fiscal transfer at all? Okay? Getting back into the Gemara, and the Gemara continues, right, to a stage which is even more mechudash. Okay? The Gemara takes things a step further. Teda, you should know, right, that Nesinas haget doesn't need any shava pruta because the shalchu mitam katvu al isurei hana kasher. You can write it on isurei hana. Right? What's the most important factor of isurei hana? What do we know about isurei hana? Very important thing about isurei hana.
Yeah, can't own it.
Exactly, right? You can't own isurei hana. In fact, on Pesach, why are you chayiv for owning chametz? So the Gemara says, actually, Taka, that's a phenomenal question, because it's asur b'hana. If it's asur b'hana, you don't own it. And if you don't own it, you can't be over on bayir abayimate. So the Gemara says there are two things which you don't really own, but the Torah basically treats you as if you own it. Chametz on Pesach, and a bor b'shus harab. Okay, bor b'shus harabim, it's the public's property, and you just dug a hole there. You don't really own the hole, right? You made a hole in the public's property. So you still own it in order to be chayiv, and on Chametz on Pesach, you're chayiv even though you don't own it, because it's yisurei hana. Okay? So we said, if you kasva yisurei hana kosher, and definitely the transfer of yisurei hana is not going to include a shava pruta. Gufa, okay, talking about Yisurei, writing it on Yisurei Hana. Shofu mitam. Katvu al Yisurei Hana, kasher. Amr v'ash, naf ana na mitanina, al ha'alesh ozayit. Because wait a second, I already know that I don't need a transfer of a shava pruta, because I know I can write it on something that on a leaf of an olive tree, which is definitely less than a shava pruta. Answers the Gemara, Dilma shayni ala shel zayis. Maybe an ala shel zayis is different. Dechazi litztarufei. Fine, right? Tanya Rebbe Yomer, kasva al yisurei hana kasher. Nafuk lebi drasha mishmei derebi v'lo kalsua, mishmei derebi kalsua, ama halacha kibase. Okay, the halacha is, kasva al yisurei hana is kasher. Okay? Says Rashi, by the way, ha'ala shel zayis she'ino shave klum. It's not worth anything. What we have here is originally we have a havamina that needs to be a shava pruta. Okay? What we know about shava pruta, it's significant, it's valuable, it's a fiscally significant, and you can obviously physically transfer it. And not only do you own it, but you can also, it also has value. When it comes to heter hana, right, like an ala shel zayis, which is talkless with shava pruta, right? It's not valuable. In theory, it has value. Okay? Now, why? What's special about ala shel zayis?
It can be made into more value, even though it itself doesn't have value.
Right, right. It's not valuable, but it has value because it's so up. So is it because you can add it to other things, right? We said chazulit starufin. What does that mean? Okay, and more importantly, right, compared to us isurei hana, which have no value, what is the key difference between that? And why is isurei hana going to work at the end? Okay, so when it comes to pachus mishabakuta, right, is the point is chazulit starufin, and therefore what? What's that shah? Or what's that mean?
It has some sort of, you know, tiny differential amount of value, even if, you know, even if that value isn't actually worth anything in and of itself.
Right. It's, you know, you can't make use of, you know, a tenth of an agura. But if you're, let's say, the credit card company, right, and you charge a tenth of an agura from every single credit card transaction, right, as long as your costs are very low, then you've just made, right, a ton of money if you have enough customers, right? It has value. It's value that is normally not significant enough to be relevant, right? Bata mavuta in the normal sense because, you know, it's totally, totally irredeemable, but it's there, right? It's just very, very, very small, right? Or, what's the alternative? slightly more more formalistic.
Maybe that it itself actually doesn't have any value, like has zero value, but a bunch of alizayit as like a unit has value, even though one alizayit doesn't.
Yeah, right. And therefore, what does this alizayit have? What?
Potential value.
Exactly, right? It has value in potential, meaning that either you could say, okay, it's got a tiny little bit of value, so you own it, right? Or we're saying that it doesn't actually have value, but since it could be added to other things with value, it could potentially get value, that's good enough for me to say that you own it and can transfer it, okay? And those are a little bit different, because one of them says, you have something with value, right? I'm giving this get, which I own, and I'm giving it to her, okay? I'm being machmir to her. She owns it, she owns whatever value it has, okay? The alternative is to say that either you can own it even though it has no value, or even say, well, I'm not really financially transferring it, right? Because it's not really valuable, so not really. But since it could potentially have value, then I have actually given it over to her, right? And it's now hers. Okay? Because it could theoretically have value. Now, why is that so relevant? It's relevant in a certain sense to this. Okay? To how we view Isturei Hana. We're going to get back to that when we get to Lourdes of Ruach. But that it plays a big part on how we view Isur Hana. Okay? When we say that Isur Hana is okay, right now we're in a real pickle. Because here we can say it has a tiny value or it has potential value. Isturei Hana have no value, and we said, right, that Chametz on Pesach isn't really yours. Asa'an ha'kaso ki'idu ein shoga. If that's true, then why does Isturei Hana work, right? Why can you write again on Isturei Hana?
Well, I mean, if the maskana of the Gemara was that all you need is physical transfer, not even necessarily monetary transfer, then you still are physically transferring the Isur Hana, even though it may have zero value.
Exactly, right? It still physically exists. Right? Just because it formally has no value, it practically has no value, it's Isur Hana, it doesn't take away the fact that it exists. Right? You might not own it, but it's still there. Okay? In which case, I can say all I need to do is a physical transfer. Right? I know she doesn't need fiscal ownership. Right? The Isur Hana, she doesn't own it. But who cares, right? Right? Who cares that she doesn't own it? All I need is the act of transfer. Right? What really matters is the act of transfer, regardless of monetary ownership. Okay. That's one option, right? What's the other option? And this is just relevant to keep in mind. But you're right, that's definitely the clearest, strongest way to understand this. I think that's lumdishly, that's entirely correct, is that when it's Isur Hana, it doesn't have value. You don't really own it. You're not really giving it to her in a monetary sense. We don't need to, because it's all about the physical transfer. It's about the act of giving it to her. Okay? Now, how else though could you say this?
That in Achinami, Isur Hana, maybe have a little bit of value and it still is a fiscal transfer?
Oh, okay, good. My one option is to say it has no value formally, but practically, right, it's still a cookie, right? So it has, let's say, informal value. I'd say, do you own it? I could say you don't own it. I could say that you might not own it, but either you physically possess it, or it has informal value. Maybe it has informal value, right? And if it has an informal value, then maybe you still own it, right? I don't know how to do this. Informal value, maybe with a question mark? Anything to do that? I'm going to put a question mark, okay? It definitely physically exists. Does it have informal value? parentheses as well. Okay? Why could that be? Right? It's a cookie. The cookie's still there. It still has calories. I mean, if you ate it, you ate it. So maybe you still own it. Why? What proof can I bring for this idea that it has informal value? Practically without cookies or pieces of bread.
I mean, we have the precedent of things that you are, Esther Benna, that you don't own that are still, you know, dangerous, like chametz or whatever.
Right, exactly. Chametz, on the one hand, you don't own it. On the other hand, you own it on some level because the Torah is saying, ki'ilu shalo, and you're chayv for ba'yor alimatze. Clearly, there's some level of it being yours that we still hold you accountable for. So, it might not really have value, but it seems to have informally still have value. And definitely physically exists. Okay? Now, in theory, what if we could create a... The only time we really get you here is, let's say, there's something that, you know, either physically doesn't exist, right, or has no informal value. Right? Then you'd really be stuck. Okay? Now, if I said you couldn't do it on the Surah Hanah, I'd be in very simple, logical grounds, right? I'd say, oh, well, if you don't own it, right, and you don't really possess it, because it's also right now, and you can't really give it over, because you need to own it at the end of the day, right? Or you need to give it, and you can't really give it if you don't own it. Right? So, we'd be very happy if it was us, if the Israel, no, it didn't work. Problem is that, right, it does work. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, if you wrote it on Isuri Hana, it's kasher. Right? The Gemara asks, what's the difference between Pachos Mishava Pruta and Isuri Hana at the end of the day? Right? They're both not worth a Pruta. And we said back, yeah, but Pachos Mishava Pruta is Chazilit Sarufe. Either means that it can be owned or it actually it has some value, right? You really can sell it to her, give it to her. She can be Kone, right? But the Isuri Hana, you really don't own. Okay? Now the problem is, if it's not Chazilit Sarufe, then right? Why can you own it? Okay? Now, here, we have two interesting discussions. Okay? One is the expansion, potentially, of the question of Isurei Hana. Right? Our Gemara says, you can write on Isurei Hana. But why? Right? Who says? So if you look, if we scroll down, I think we're going to scroll down to our Zarua. Here. Actually, you know what? Maybe I was moving. So the Or Zarua earlier? No, I'll do our Zarua here. Okay. The Or Zarua quotes the following. Tani b'hai pirka, kasvo ayad atzma, hareza inu mugureshes. If you write the get on the wife's hand, okay, he writes her again. He says, "Oh, give me your hand." And she says, "Harei Abu Teres Chol Adam." You know, sign Jimbo, your deadbeat husband. Right? Tanya Bahadirka Kasvu Al Yad Atma Harei Ze Inu Bugresh. Oh, wait a second. Did I just skip the bit where he asks to read the simcha? Oh no, sorry. I have to start from the beginning. My apologies. Kasvu Na Ala Shel Zayis. Right? You can write in Ala Shel Zayis. Ubitosef Dak Kasvu Bidam Karosh and Chilev. Or an Ala Shel Zayis, all these things are going to be kasher as long as it's Shokayama. Okay, yeah. V'tanya, the Kasva Yad Atma Reza Inu Bugreshes. V'shalach Mori Rabinu Simcha Zatzal, the Mori Rabinu Avi HaEzri. Okay, so Rabinu Simcha asks the Rav Yah. Okay? Rabbeinu Simcha asked the Rav Yah, and the Rav Yah said, and he asked the following. Rabbeinu Simcha says, the Rebbe of the Simcha of Spire asks the Rav Yah, okay, this is all being quoted by the Or Zarua, this is the Talmud over Simcha of Spire. Okay, ma bein zeh lekasvo al yisurei hana. Okay, what's the difference between writing it on her hand and writing it on yisurei hana? Right? Why? Shaharei, eno nosin lo niyar, ela osios. right? Okay, if it's Asur Bahana, you don't own it. If you don't own it, you can't give her the paper because doesn't own it, right? Okay. Right, what's his question? The question is, Chaz al Yam. Right? He's giving her only the words, but not the actual piece of paper, because there is no piece of paper. He wrote it on her own hand. Okay? And he's saying, oh, I gave her the words without giving her any, right, any physical gap. Okay? What's the
crux
here?
What are you giving her? You're not giving her anything. What's the nesina? What's the value? What's the anything?
Exactly. There's no value. But that's true by Yisrael. Rabbi Simcha is asking the following, right? He's basically taking an extreme argument of, what is the point of the get if it doesn't mean that, if it could be Yisurei Hana, which means it has no value, which means you can't even give it to her in a legal sense? What are you doing, Ben? If you give someone random stuff, but it doesn't actually have, you didn't really give it to them. Let's say you send someone a text message. What are you really sending them?
You're sending them the data.
Exactly, the information, right? Ask for the Simcha. Right, what you have here is you have information, right? But no object and no value. Okay? All you have is information. So Rabbi Simcha says, if you can give me Surya Hana, what's the point? The point is that you're giving the information over, right? You're sending the message.
We're gonna have to move locations because it got loud in here, so give us 1 second.
Oh sure. Yeah. Oh yeah, it seems there's a lot of slaps going on.
Yeah, we do.
The Nefesh always has a lot of noise. Noise is a symbol of true Talmud Torah.
You know what? We have
because of
when she's here and not using
it. It looks like a little bit of
you know the couch up there.
Oh, yeah.
JIC office. No, you don't interrupt us. Let's go here. Oh yeah.
Okay, right here. So the basic question is what? What do you need for a get?
Just the information, that's it.
Right. You need to write it down, right? Because we need it to be concrete and we need it to really be a manifestation of his intent to be Megaresh. Right? It's not good enough for him to say it. He needs to write it. But ultimately, it's not about giving over the get. It's about communicating her bichtav that he's being Megaresh. So the information maybe should be good enough. If what he's saying is true and that all works, that's what we don't see about, why not let her write on her hand? What's the problem? Problem is, I have a Mefurash Tosefta that says that's not true, right? So what would I say, right? What does the Eretz say? The Eretz says, yeah, no object, right? There's no physical nesina. It's not just about the info, right? The chisaron here is that you have no object, and if you have no object, then there's no nesina haget. It's not just that you want to communicate, right? It's that he gives her the get. It cuts up while sefer krisos, v'nasan v'yad, right? The act, the maisa shiluchim. It's not just that he informs her that he wants to be megaresh. It's not just that v'kasavla, he needs to inform her bichtav, right? It's that he has to be mishalech, v'kasavla sefer krisos, v'nasa v'yada v'shilcha mimisa, right? The giving of the get, the nesina, right, is actually a critical part of the givership. It's not just that he communicates, he has to give it to her, right? He has to hand it over and say, we're done, right? The nesina, the shiluchim, the breakup, let's say, right, not only informationally, but physically, there's an actual breakup, is very chashuv, right? What's the problem, Bo? There's gonna be a problem in a second. The answer is none, right? This is fantastic. Perfect answer. Your guy's answer is great. There's no object, which means there's no Messina, right? As opposed to here, where there's a physical object, so therefore you can have Messina. What's the downside if you read the Rosarua? Right, what's the downside according to the Rosarua? What does the Rabbi say back to Rabbi Simcha? Right, so I'll bring it back up on the screen. Masha ain't came beyond him, is garish to ain't can Messina. Got that?
Yeah, he's giving the answer of like potential value that not just you need a Natina, but there's some sort of maybe value.
Exactly, right? What it seems like the Rav Yah goes for, I think this is very much more Mishachnea. I think, you know, we'll see it later that next year. That this is definitely the most compelling explanation. But fascinatingly, the Rav Yah doesn't go for it, right? The Rav Yah instead says it has no value, not even informal value. Right? He says, well, Isurei Hana or Asur B'Hana, but they still have informal value because what?
You can still read them.
Right? In theory, there's a way to use them. You could be mefatel, you could like be podet by being molech lahanah to Yam HaMelech. Right? It gets into a taruves, you pay off the hanah in advance, and then you could use it. You know, you get into, I'm trying to remember what siman it is, but there are all sorts of interesting discussions in Yoredeya about like Yisrael Hanah that get into weird Tarovases, and then other things happen, and then, you know, you have a whole Baal Hagan, and Baruch Hashem, you end up get to Mimavata of this. Okay? Right? So he says, here there's no informal value. This is the Rav Yah. Right? That's very surprising. I think that's very, very surprising, because I thought this is much more Meshachneh. Especially in the Shaka Batari of the Gemara, right? Where it says, oh, yeah, Isur Hana, no problem, right? Why? Because Vinasa, right? Vinasa is the Sinas again. Here, there's no Sinas again at all, right? But he says, oh, not only was he convinced by, he's convinced, and I think this is clear, it's not that this isn't a good answer, this is a great answer. But I think what the Rav Yah is saying is that even here, the fact that it physically exists isn't good enough. What you need is that it has an informal value. Okay? Because otherwise, you can't do a Messina, which involves physical transfer of ownership. According to the Rav Yah, you could still own, or you could still possess, I would say more accurately, Isurei Hana. They have no value. But they still have informal value, and you can still possess them. So when you give it over, right now, you possess it as she possesses it. Okay? The idea of fiscal ownership or possession is very relevant. If it's asur b'hana, and there was no informal value, right, there was no concept of possession, then I think we would invalidate even isurei hana. Okay? Now what's interesting is that Yerushalmi, and we're going to end here and we'll continue a different time, is that Yerushalmi actually brings up a daya that sees there being real problems with Isur B'Hana, and it says that, yeah, actually, Isur B'Hana wouldn't work. Right? You can't own it if it, you can't be Megarish with Yisurei Hanam. There's an actual, the Rishon really has a day like that. And it happens to be a word spelled very nicely, right? The Yushami says, well, if you can't own it, because it's Yisurei Hanam, you don't own it. Right? If you're not going to tackle the Rabia, who says, oh, it has informal value, and you're not going to suffice with the Sinas Haget that has no fiscal transfer of ownership, then maybe you're really going to pass off even Yisurei Hanam.